Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Happy Friday. It is a good Friday indeed because today we get to, of course, not only talk about Tesla hitting an all-time high close, but hitting an all-time high period. After hitting a wall at $900 a share yesterday, Tesla today breaking through that pretty convincingly. So we'll talk about the stock. We also then have a credit rating upgrade, long overdue in my opinion. Then we've got a couple other quick stories on Toyota, Apple, etc. All right, so coming into the day today, the previous all-time high was set back in January by Tesla, a share price of $900.40. Tesla couldn't quite get there yesterday, but today, convincingly breaking through that this morning. And after a little bit of a mid-morning dip, Tesla recovering and closing really at the high of the day at $909.68, down just a hair from the high, which was $910 even. So as I've said in the past, I'm not a big technicals person, but I do really like to see that strength in a close, especially on Fridays. Anyway, that put Tesla up 1.75% on the day in not the best macro environment, the NASDAQ finishing down 0.8% today. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But before we move on from that, if you're a Tesla shareholder, pat yourself on the back because anyone that has ever bought Tesla shares is now positive on that purchase. Now, that's of course unless you traded your way out of any gains on other trades, but anyone that has ever bought and held is now in the green. And that's just a nice milestone. Obviously, that's what an all-time high means. But I think it's also nice to consider it explicitly from that perspective. If you're interested, I did have a chance to go on Dave Lee's channel today just to talk a little bit about that milestone and a little bit more about earnings and just what's going on with Tesla right now. Definitely would recommend that. But I think an all-time high, it's just a nice opportunity to take a step back and reflect on where Tesla has been, where Tesla is going from here. And for me, that also means reflecting back on Tesla Daily, and I'm really proud of the work that I've done. Mentioned this on Twitter the other day that the audio podcast, not even considering YouTube, the audio podcast alone has hit 10 million downloads now. And the audio podcast has always been ad-free. I can't imagine many other podcasts of that size that do that without, a bunch of exclusive content or things like that. So I also just want to take a second and really appreciate the Patreon supporters that have allowed this podcast to be a thing. There was a time when I kind of had to make a choice about giving up the podcast or giving up my actual full-time job. And had there not been such a supportive audience at that point in time, then I definitely would have chosen my job. So just want to express, again, appreciation for those people that have made this possible. And those people really have gone above and beyond because, like I said, I'm not huge on like exclusive content or anything like that. They don't really get a whole lot for doing that. But that's enabled Tesla Daily to be what it is and hopefully is going to help enable a lot of exciting things in the future as well. Anyway, huge thank you to that group. And if you're also interested in supporting that effort, you can find more details about that at patreon.com/TeslaDailyPodcast. Anyway, a couple other things on the stock. So the strong performance today was actually in the midst of a pretty rough macro environment. The NASDAQ was down 0.8% today. Quite a few tech stocks in general being dragged down by Snapchat's earnings report yesterday. So Snapchat was down 26% today as they reported a pretty big miss, which they kind of attributed to Apple changing some of their advertiser policies. So investors concerned about similar hits for businesses like Facebook, Twitter, etc., that are kind of reliant on that ad-based model. So kind of drags the market down, but actually may end up being a good thing for Tesla as some of that capital can then flow out of those companies and maybe into a company like Tesla, which is obviously very different in terms of the business from those companies. With some of the movement from that today, we did actually see Tesla briefly, I believe, surpass Facebook to become the sixth most valuable company in the world. I don't think it ended up that way at close. Looks like Tesla's market cap is just a few billion shy from companiesmarketcap.com of where Facebook is, but potentially closing in on that sixth spot, which is kind of crazy to think about given where we were like 18 months ago. Another kind of fun update on the stock here is from Leo Kogawan. So he is the third largest individual shareholder of Tesla behind Elon Musk and Larry Ellison. He's been talking pretty openly the last couple of months on Twitter about buying more Tesla shares. So today he is reporting to Tesla Bulls that he recently bought an additional 300,000 shares of Tesla and says, in summary, I bought 6.5 million physical shares plus call options of about 3 million shares. Therefore, in total, I control about 9.5 million Tesla shares. All in, I live or die with Tesla. So I know Leo is a listener. So Leo, if you're listening, congratulations on all those shiny new Tesla shares. All right, so the big news for today, really, aside from what's going on with the stock, is that Tesla did finally get an upgrade, credit rating upgrade from S&P Global. Still waiting on Moody's, but the S&P upgrading Tesla today from a BB credit rating now to a BB+. And if that's confusing at all, here's the chart. Tesla slowly climbing their way up the scales to what S&P considers investment grade, but BB+ still falls into their classification for speculative grade, though it is at the highest level for that category. Why does it matter if Tesla is not looking to take out any more debt? Well, some investors are not going to invest in anything that is below an investment grade. It's just one of those filters that we've talked about before. the more of those filters that Tesla can clear, the larger the pool of possible investors. As for the S&P rationale on this credit upgrade, the note is pretty lengthy, so we can't read it all in its entirety here, but it was kind of a tale of two cities. They definitely had me in the first half. They were talking a lot about just the success that Tesla has had in terms of Tesla being able to continue to grow production and deliveries despite supply chain challenges. They talk about demand being backed by a higher backlog of orders. They note the comment that Zach made on the call that they've hit an annualized production rate of 1 million units, and they're happy with EBITDA margins, which they said have remained strong so far this year, but they did say that they expect those to remain steady in 2022, which, yeah, there are some headwinds, but I guess we'll see on that. They note that Tesla has continued to improve execution, and they actually have raised their 2021 delivery forecast to more than 900,000 units, which is above their previous forecast of 850,000 units. So it's actually a pretty bullish forecast there from the S&P. That's 272,000 deliveries for Q4 is what that's implying, which would be above consensus, and I'm sure that consensus will come up a bit, but that's a pretty high forecast for the S&P. Then they talk about some market share stuff. I think you all know I don't really care too much about that. Talk about some mixed things. Then they get to the risks finally, and this is kind of the tale of two cities that I mentioned, just because I think they're tending to overstate some of these a little bit, and that's probably to be expected with, you know, a credit rating, but they talk about supply chain risks. Sure, that's definitely valid, especially as Tesla's trying to grow so quickly, but at the same time, Tesla's going to continue to grow, that's pretty certain, and they're already at an extremely profitable level, so I'm not really sure why that should be seen as necessarily a huge risk in terms of the credit rating. They then mentioned Tesla's need to sustain their first mover advantage and brand appeal. Well, almost seems like a given to me, but sure, I guess technically a risk. Then we get to the one that I disagree with the most. They say, quote, "Furthermore, Tesla will need to contend with rising competition as global automakers are expected to launch about 40 new EV models by the end of 2022. These much larger players, such as Volkswagen and Toyota, and those traditionally focused in the luxury segment, such as BMW and Daimler, could be formidable competitors. This is because many of them have the capacity and the vertical integration capabilities to bridge the cost gap over time and also leverage their existing customer base and brand power to command pricing power." End quote. I couldn't disagree with that more. I mean, first of all, Toyota, what? What are you talking about with Toyota? Secondly, Tesla's way more vertically integrated than these other companies. And then they mention capacity as though they could just flip a switch and turn over their ICE manufacturing lines to EVs, which obviously is abundantly clearly not the case. Like, they were doing so well, and then I got to this paragraph, and it's just like, oh, what happened here? How did you guys get this so wrong? Anyway, the rest is kind of just about financial metrics and Tesla needing to maintain the ones that they're posting right now, which obviously I think Tesla will easily do. Kind of boilerplate stuff there, rounding it out. They do at least note that Tesla's net debt continues to be zero, and this is something that Tesla mentioned on the call. Tesla only has about $2 billion now of recourse debt. I mean, heck, their Bitcoin position, $2.5 to $3 billion would cover that, and then they've also got $16 billion in cash and cash equivalents. So Tesla's in a really strong debt position right now, and I really don't feel like that's being fully reflected in this rating, but slowly creeping up the ladder and any increase here is a good thing. All right, we'll move on from the credit rating, but we'll stick with one of the competitors that the S&P highlighted as being a key risk for Tesla, and that is Toyota. So at a discussion apparently about electric vehicles on Thursday, Toyota's chief scientist, Gil Pratt, made some comments about EVs, saying that Toyota believes in the diversity of drivetrains, eerily similar to BMW's statements about their belief in the power of choice. Anyway, Pratt went on to say, quote, "It's not for us to predict which solution is the best or say only this will work," end quote. All right. I mean, maybe as chief scientist, that's not exactly your job, but certainly that is the job of the company. The company should definitely be thinking proactively about what solution is the best, and I don't know, maybe try to head towards that solution. That certainly sounds like a better business strategy than sitting there and saying, oh, it's not our job to be proactive, we'd rather be reactive. Like, what is going on, honestly, what is going on with Toyota that they continue to say these just kind of ridiculous things? I guess this company and the company that literally calls in Elon Musk to try to help them do what Tesla is doing are the big competitive threats here. Doesn't make much sense to me. I mean, if you're going to talk about competitive threats, at least talk about China, not Toyota. Anyway, another update here on competitors or not competitors. Reuters is reporting that Apple has been having talks with CATL and BYD on battery supplies and that those talks have mostly stalled, quote, "after they refused to set up teams and build US plants that would solely cater to the tech giant. Three people with knowledge of the discussion set," end quote. Reuters then also notes that due to the stalled discussions, Apple is considering Japanese battery makers, so apparently they sent a group of people to Japan, and Panasonic obviously would be one of those companies under consideration. So I guess we'll continue to keep an eye on it. We've certainly had our fair share of Apple Car rumors throughout basically the entirety of this year, but it kind of sounds like it's just been really difficult for them to kind of lock in with another automaker, with battery suppliers. There just doesn't seem to be a whole lot of progress here. And I think even if they do, it's going to be a really difficult road for Apple beyond that. So my outlook is still not very positive on that front. I think every day that goes by, it's just going to become more and more difficult for Apple to justify a good value proposition in the EV market as Tesla continues to advance and others fill in available niches. Anyway, BYD was one of those suppliers in that report. There was also some potential Tesla BYD related news. I'm really not even going to cover this because we have seen already two times this year false BYD slash Tesla news. So I'm really just commenting on this to point out that there has been that misinformation in the past, but there was a report that BYD and Tesla may have agreed to a contract for 10 gigawatt hours worth of lithium iron phosphate batteries. So, I mean, it's definitely a possibility, and Tesla has said they're looking for as many batteries as they can get their hands on, but just because of that previous reporting, I'm putting no stock in this rumor, which is really the only reason I'm mentioning it until we get further news. Lastly then, let's wrap up what's been a really big week for Tesla with some SpaceX news. Elon noting on Twitter today that, quote, "If all goes well, Starship will be ready for its first orbital launch attempt next month, pending regulatory approval," end quote. It's been a little bit since we checked in on SpaceX aside from the Inspiration 4 mission, so as that gets a little bit closer, we'll continue to keep a closer eye on what's going on there. I guess one last thing then before we wrap it up, at least at the time of this recording, we are supposed to get FSD Beta 10.3 this weekend, hopefully tonight. That should be a pretty big expansion, and if that does happen, I'll definitely get a video out this weekend and we can see what the progress is looking like. But that will wrap it up for today and for the week. Hope everyone has had a great week and continues on to have a great weekend. But before you go, don't forget to subscribe and sign up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and hopefully see you sometime this weekend for a beta video, otherwise on Monday for the October 25th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.